So, as you mentioned, I'm just going to talk about problems for a minute, and I'd like to start off with an urgent problem that's in the news every day, which is clearly we've got 15 million Americans unemployed. How do we create a job? There's an interesting problem. How do we create a job? You know, we talk about jobs all the time, but nobody seems to be talking about how to actually create a job. I'm going to tell you how you create a job. It's really quite simple. You solve a problem for a customer at a price that that customer is willing to pay on a regular basis. And if you do that, congratulations, you've just created a job. That job can be a fireman, it can be a policeman, it can be any job you want. If you solve a problem for a customer at a price they're willing to pay on a regular basis, you have created a job. Solve 15 million customer problems, we'd have 15 million jobs. So that's really the challenge. So what is the entrepreneur's job? All right, so we're here at a conference about entrepreneurship. What is the entrepreneur's job? Well, the entrepreneur's job is fairly specific too. The entrepreneur has to identify a problem worth solving. Let me repeat that. They have to identify a problem worth solving where the solution generates enough profit to exceed the risk-adjusted cost of capital. So let me say it again. Where the solution generates enough profit, you could say ongoing profit, to exceed the risk-adjusted cost of capital. The cost of capital is not material until you adjust it for the risk. Once you have a risk-adjusted cost of capital, if you can solve a problem for a customer at a price they're willing to pay on a regular basis, where your solution exceeds that, congratulations, you are an entrepreneur. If you don't do that, you are a failed entrepreneur, which is a very specific kind of entrepreneur you try to avoid being. So, it turns out that the bigger the problem you try to solve, the bigger the business you have. Solve a really big problem, you got a really big business. Solve a small problem, you've got a small business. So when we look at the tech campus of Cornell University, what are they trying to do? They're trying to solve a really big problem, which is how do they reinvent graduate education in the information age? That's a big problem. You solve that, you haven't just solved it for Cornell. You've solved it for the entire higher education system, which is desperately trying to solve that problem as it slides its business model towards disaster. Okay. Because we clearly do not have a price that anybody can afford for higher education anymore. Without mortgaging your house, without mortgaging your future, the price of education of higher education is completely out of control. It's completely disproportionate to the benefit we provide. Yet we desperately need to reinvent it. Now, it turns out that everybody likes talking about solutions. Everybody likes talking about technology. Nobody likes talking about problems. Nobody. Everybody wants to talk about their new iPhone app. Everybody wants to talk about their new whiz-bang nanobiotech. That's all solution stuff. That's not problem stuff. Now, we need technology. We need solutions. But really, what we need to do much more is understand how the nature of problems are changing in the modern age. The nature of problems. It used to be problems were pretty simple. Kevin McGovern showed us a really simple one. The world needs clean drinking water they can afford. We're talking about a simple problem, and we're talking about a big one. Right? But the world is not filled with as many simple problems as we would like. In fact, the nature of problems is changing faster than the nature of technology. Let me repeat that. You think technology is changing fast? It ain't changing as fast as problems. Problems are changing even faster. Why? Because it turns out that problems are now multiple derived problems. We now have problems that are no longer simple, like, okay, you need to take your medicine. Here's the prescription, go get it filled and take the medicine. You know, that used to be a very simple problem. It turns out that's a really complicated problem. And we're going to talk in a second about why problems have become so damn complicated. In part because the world is so complicated. Now, it turns out that focusing on problem definition is what separates the pros from the amateurs in entrepreneurs. You can detect a great entrepreneur almost from the start when they can describe the problem beautifully, simply, precisely, clearly, and with an economic description that talks about a customer and a price. An entrepreneur who does not talk about a customer and a price is not an entrepreneur. Because an entrepreneur is a person who identifies a problem worth solving, where the solution generates enough profit to exceed the risk-adjusted cost of capital. If the entrepreneur isn't talking about a customer and a price and the problem that he or she is going to solve, send them back. When you go through the App Store, right, and you go into the health and medicine category, and I spend a lot of time in health and medicine. I am the curator of the TED Med Conference, which is the TED Conference, the annual TED Conference held all about health and medicine in Washington each year, 3.5 days. And I've met hundreds and hundreds of health and medical entrepreneurs. I have never met a group of people who are worse in problem definition in my life. I mean, they cannot describe a problem to get out of their own way, these people. Go into the App Store, the Apple Store, and I'm sure it's in the Android store, and take a look at the 15,000 apps in health and medicine, and tell me how many of them in 15 seconds you can understand what problem they're solving. The challenge in so many areas in health and medicine is we are doing such a terrible job at defining problems. Let me give you a perfect example, as I mentioned earlier. There is an enormous problem in America that people don't take their medicines. So you might think, great, let's solve that problem. Now, by the way, this is half of all the admissions to emergency rooms in the US. Half are because people do not take their medicine. All right? 70% of all Americans do not take the medicines as prescribed after 6 months. 70% of all Americans. It's a $150 billion problem, and it's probably two-thirds of the people in this room are not compliant taking their medicines. You know who you are. Okay? Now, the typical thing on this is, oh, come on, people forget, they take too much. So the tip, you know, when I go to business schools, I hear this a lot, and I'm not picking on Cornell's business school in any way, but business school students tend to go, they hear this problem and go, oh, this is a piece of cake. The whiz-bang reminder medical service. My phone will go off. You know, there's like 1,200 of these apps on the iPhone store. All right. Let me tell you something. The standard story is it's about forgetfulness or it's about cost. That's the story on compliance. People either forget or it's too expensive. Neither of those are the issue. There are 250 different reasons why people don't take their medications in the United States, and I'm sure more abroad. 250. And every one of those problems are a different business. There's people who don't trust their medication. There's people who think their medication makes them fat. There's people who think their medication makes them sick. There's people who think their medication is just a conspiracy to make the insurance companies rich. There's people who heard a rumor that this medication makes you, you know, impotent. All right. A rumor. There's people whose sister didn't take the medication and she won the lottery the very next day. The fact of the matter is, if you want to address a problem that has 250 different segments, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. And that's what I meant when I said earlier, problems are getting more complicated. They're getting more complicated because our world is more complicated. Because it turns out that the social impact of issues turns out to be bigger than the science impact of issues or the logical impact of issues. It turns out that people, those silly people called customers, have all of their own reasons why they want to do things, which have nothing to do with logic, which have nothing to do with science, which have nothing to do with evidence, which has everything to do with who they are. You see, we live in an age where everybody is now who they are. We live in a time where everybody's phone, at least if it's a smartphone, looks different than the person right next to them. It used to be you got a phone, it had a dial, it had four colors, and it was in your home. And it wasn't long ago. Now you got a phone, it's got 240 different apps, and every person's got a different fingerprint of apps on their phone. Every last person's got a different phone. And by the way, they don't use them to speak anymore because that's a silly old use for phones. So, what do? As an entrepreneur, you begin to focus in on understanding problems. How do you learn and understand problems? Well, first thing you do is you rapidly sort of prototype. But you rapidly prototype with customers. Because if you don't talk to customers, how the hell are you going to know if you really have the problem right? And if you don't talk to customers, how are you going to know if your price is anywhere close? And if you don't talk to customers, how do you know that your arrogant solution to the damn problem is anywhere close to what the customers really want? Because I guarantee you it's not. You know, when Google, which is a wonderful company, started out, they had no idea what problem they were going to solve. They were a search engine. And as a search engine, they said, We don't know how we're going to make any money, but we're going to build the world's coolest search engine. And we'll figure out how we're going to make money later. You know, unfortunately, Google is such a giant success that that field of dreams approach has become the approach for every entrepreneur in the world.
I don't really know how I'm going to make money, but it's going to be big. Okay? Maybe advertising. That's the answer.
Okay. Let me tell you, that works one out of a million times when you're Google. And by the way, Google had no idea the problem they solved until they were years and years old. Many times, Microsoft could have bought Google and kept saying, why the hell we got to buy a search engine? We can build our own. The number of times Google could have sold out is numerous. You see, Google solves a very different problem. Google doesn't solve a problem for consumers searching. It solves a problem for advertisers who are looking to run small direct response ads on the web that are highly effective and efficient. And Google didn't even solve that. They bought that solution. Google bolted on a business solution, paid search, to an algorithm that was just better at finding things that consumers were looking for. So consumers were there in numbers. Suddenly, paid search became a giant profit engine. You know what? If they hadn't found it, they'd still be two guys in a Stanford room in their graduate school. So what is the key in problem solving? And half the time, it's humility. And the other half the time, it's imagination. You need both humility to know you don't know and imagination to listen to customers who talk to you about the problems. That doesn't mean solutions can't evolve. Yes, eBay started as an auction site for Pez dispensers. You heard it right, Pez dispensers. Okay, that's how eBay started. They never envisioned that that would grow to the scale it did. But once they started getting overwhelmed with Pez dispensers, they said, you know, we could make this bigger. We could grow it onto other kinds of Beanie Babies, their second biggest category. We now look at today at eBay and we see how rapid it's evolved, which is one of the hallmarks of modern business. As an entrepreneur, we don't have to get it perfect. We have to get it right enough to generate revenues and right enough to exceed our risk-adjusted cost of capital. But we can rapidly evolve. Which brings me to my last and hardest problem. The hardest problem I've ever seen, and I've seen a fair share of them, is the crisis of labeled obesity in America. This problem, it's actually a worldwide problem, is a staggering problem. You see, obesity looks like a pretty simple problem because there's a story. And the story is people are overweight. It's really misnamed beyond belief. But people are overweight because they eat too much, they exercise too little, and they sort of lack education of what they ought to do. That's the sort of the narrative. Nothing could be farther from the truth. As you begin to unpack the obesity problem, you see 65 different reasons why people eat what they eat. You know, they're commuting. They need to eat with one hand. They need to eat the way they did as a kid. They don't know how to cook because they don't cook. Their parents didn't cook and their grandparents didn't cook. They literally, you know, have no money. They're afraid. They eat for comfort. They eat because they're afraid. They eat because they're lonely. It's not because they're uneducated. In most cases. And yes, there's an enormous education problem. As you begin to understand the obesity challenge in America, because it is a crisis but much more, you realize it looks like so many other problems we face as entrepreneurs. Very simple on the surface and very complicated as we begin to define segments and understand the problem. And that problem is a good example of why it's so easy to say, ah, I know what that problem is all about. And as you begin to unpack it, it's not. So, to conclude, problem definition is not glamorous. It's really unfun. It takes days and days and weeks of good work and good thinking to actually define a problem. But show me a person who has well defined the problem, who understands how they propose to essentially solve that problem for a customer on a regular basis at a price the customer is willing to pay, and I will show you a successful entrepreneur. It doesn't matter if you haven't thought through the problem. Then all of your fancy solutions, all your pretty gadgets, all your new technology ain't worth a damn. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.